If you would turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3, we're going to be looking at some of the instruction there for us. In our devotional time, we're reading through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. As we were reading Colossians 3, I thought a very important passage for preparation for the Lord's Supper. One of the things that the Lord's Supper should be for us is a time of examination to see how our life for the Lord Jesus Christ is coming and to let him speak to us about what's on his heart for our very lives. And Paul is speaking here to Christians that, as he says, that we're risen with Christ. We're to seek the things that are above. We're to set our affections there, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He's talking about those that have accepted Christ and really have been born into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot in our family, in our life that needs to be taken care of. But the truth is, and we see that back in Ephesians chapter 2, that we've been raised up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We walk here, you're sitting here, but spiritually, you are sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has done a very special thing. There's a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians 5. I don't need to turn there, but just reminding, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I thought, not everything in my life is new. But then I didn't really understand. He's talking about what happens in our life when we receive the gift of salvation. Christ comes to live in us. His Spirit comes to live in us, and we are in him, as he speaks in these early verses here of Colossians 3. Later in that chapter, right at the end of the chapter, for he hath made him, Jesus, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so that's an amazing thing. Spiritually, you're born again, you're new in Christ, and Christ's righteousness spiritually is in you. But you've got a lot to deal with in your old life yet and how you live and so forth. And that's what Paul is sharing with the Colossians. And you know, sometimes I think there's a concept out there, when we receive Christ, then our life has to be perfect. Well, spiritually, we can claim that because we've been made the righteousness of Christ. But that gift came on just downright dirty sinners. I'm just so thankful. The Lord worked in my life to bring me to himself at the age of 9. And I didn't get into some deeper things, praise God. That was his work. But I was still a fallen creature, and my life needed to come into conformity to Jesus Christ. And I just want to say why I called this holy ground. There's an Old Testament picture that God has given us, how that his people were in bondage in Egypt. They came out by the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice of the Lamb spared them, and they came out of Egypt. They were then headed for, he was going to be a God to them. He gave them the law, but then they come to Kadesh Barnea, and they need to go in, which is real, a picture of victorious Christian living, although there's a lot of problems in there. They didn't believe, and they wandered for 40 years because of their unbelief, and that kind of the picture of carnal Christian living. God's taking care of you, but it's not victorious living. You're saved, but you're out, but you're not in, in a way. So Joshua led the people in across Jordan, and there's a special passage I just referred to that is pretty neat. It's Joshua 5, 13 through 15. I'm not going to read it, but he was right by Jericho, and Jericho was a fortified city that's part of the problem that those 40, I believe, scared them. How are we going to deal with a fortified city like that? And then they saw giants and all sorts of problems if they would go in, although God said, I'll give it to you. Joshua met a man there with a sword drawn, and he introduced himself as a captain of the Lord's host. I believe an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And in essence, he was saying, I'm not here to take sides. Joshua asked, whose side are you on? I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. And then he, right outside of Jericho, told Joshua, take your shoes off. You are standing on holy ground. And as I look at it, they had crossed Jordan. They're in. And there's all sorts of problems ahead of recapturing the land, cleaning up the land. It had become so demon-filled through those people. One passage says the land vomiteth out the inhabitants. And so there was all this work to do yet to take back this land, this promised land. But in I don't believe that I know, once they were across Jordan, that they've fought one battle yet. Didn't make one conqueror of any cities yet. And yet he says, it's holy ground. You're where you're supposed to be. I'm here to take over and guide you in retaking the land. And they had to retake cities and all of that. But I had to think of that in terms of what Paul is talking about in Colossians 3. You are in, but there are things in your life that need to be cleaned up. And I guess really that's sanctification. Your salvation, you're born again, you've trusted in God's gift to you, and you're ready, whatever happens, you're ready to go home to be with the Lord. But there are things now that need to be taken care of. And I would just briefly look at those with you here this morning. And I want to just pray that God the Holy Spirit would convince me, would convince whatever, this is what I'm concerned about in your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and being the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the day that everyone here invited you to be Savior and was born again and placed in Christ and is alive in him and dead with Christ and ready to go home and be with him. But I just ask that your Holy Spirit would convict me of things that need to be changed yet in my life, my brothers and sisters here. And of course, Lord, if anyone needs to come to Christ today, that they would do that. But we look to you for that work of examination in our lives, in Jesus' name. So the very first thing, he's already said, you're risen with Christ. The very first thing that he's saying, make that your goal and what you think about. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek the things that are above. That's where we're going to spend eternity. I just had to think of the rich young ruler and the perspective of Jesus and the perspective of the rich young ruler. He really wanted, he said, what do I have to do to be perfect? I've kept the commandments. He's very rich. Jesus said, you know, if you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you're going to have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And I think about the perspective of the rich young ruler. Obviously, he was wealthy. And to think about giving it away and giving to the poor didn't make sense to him. For Jesus said, okay, your riches will make wings and they're going to fly away. It's all going to be gone one of these days. And you can have treasure in heaven, which I came from, and I know the beauty of it. Your heart needs to be set on that. He's sad. He went away. And so Paul is saying, If you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Make that a goal of your life to do what's going to count for that. And then set your affections, your love on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's probably an area that we need to be spoken about. What does God want us to do with our perspective? But then second, these are born-again Christians that he's writing it to, and now he says, mortify therefore your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Wow. You're seated with Christ, but there may be things in your life that need to be taken care of. And I just a couple things on mortify is put to death. And I think what he's saying is there are things in your life that you are captivated with, you're in bondage to, and you just can't break it. I think of Munger's, I've shared with you before, his little book, My Heart, Christ Home, talking about Jesus moving in and the different parts of life and so forth. But he came to Jesus saying, there's something in here that smells bad. That needs to be taken care of. And Munger said, I know, it's the hall closet. I can't handle it. I can't get rid of it. Jesus said, give me the key. I'll take care of it. There are two things I think of, and I don't know, that's quite a list there. Immorality and covetousness and those kind of things that are in your life and they have a hold on you. I think back in what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if you live in the flesh, you shall die. But if you by the Spirit do mortify, put to death the things of the flesh, you shall live. There are some things you just say, Holy Spirit of God, this is in my life. It might be one of the things I think about and tried to work through with some people is pornography or hidden things going on in your life, hidden relationships that you just can't break. But I truly believe you ask the Holy Spirit, put that to death in my life. He knows how to do it, and I've watched that happen. Also, I just think of it involves spiritual battle sometimes. 2 Corinthians 10 says in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And these are things that can be changed in your life, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ, changing your thinking. And so Paul is saying right after that, Your life is hid with Christ in God. Put to death certain things in your life that still would be there. And he said, these are the things that the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And some of you walked in them, be done with them. The next thing he says in verse 8 and 9, it's just things stop doing. Evidently, by the power of God, he says, now, put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Talks about lying and that kind of lifestyle. Be cleansed from it. Ask by God's power. And I think I just want to say on that, sometimes you can look at your generations and it's come on down the line. Grandfather did it. Grandfather did it. Maybe a spirit of anger that's in the family. Renounce whatever's been in the family line and ask Jesus to set you free from it. But basically he's saying, put those things away. Stop doing those things. And then in verse 10 and to 14, he says, put on the new man. You're new in Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to so bear his fruit in your life. Invite him day by day to put on the new man, which is righteous in Christ Jesus. And then 15 and 16, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which you're called, and be ye thankful. Another thing to put on, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that's why that verse that I wanted to add for Wednesday night is that let the word of God change you and set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so let the peace of God, Jesus said, my peace give I unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Rest in him. Go to him. Ask him for peace in the midst of what you're doing. And then, verse 17, do everything you do in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a new way of living. You're his now. You got heaven as you're looking forward to. Do all in his name. And then he also asks some obedience, some areas of obedience that are necessary. Wives, take your rightful position. God has made husbands to be a protection for you. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. These are things, if you're living in Christ, you need to be sure that you're doing right. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, so be discouraged. And you workers, be good workers. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So it's quite a list that Paul is saying. If there's hidden things in your life, there are bondages in your life, invite the Holy Spirit to put those to death. Use the weapons of your warfare to pull those things down in your life. Stop doing the things that just do not glorify Jesus Christ. Start living for him. Put those things on. And it's by the power of God's Spirit. And it is not that you have to stop it so you get to heaven. But you want to stop those things. You want them out of your life so the Lord Jesus can say, well done. Way to do it in your life. Enter into the blessing of the Lord. And I just bring back to what John had to say in his letter. My little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you might have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Lord Jesus coming one of these days. Either our life will expire here and we'll meet him, or we'll meet him when he comes back in the air. But we want our life to be right perspective. It's so easy to, we're so taken up with life here and trying to manage it here. But in the midst of that, our main goal is to set our affections above and what it's going to be like to be with Jesus and getting ready for that. And so as we come to the Lord's Supper again, we periodically, it's so important, they didn't set any time that some churches do it every week. We try to do it once a month. But it's a time to stop and focus on the wonderful gift that God has given us by taking our dear Son, our dear Savior, taking our sin and giving his righteousness to us. And so as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, I just ask that the Spirit of God would speak in my heart and your hearts.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, rich and free.
And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would use us in some special way throughout the day, the week to come. There's people that desperately need to know what you've done for them. Use us for your glory, I pray. And we just ask your blessing on our fellowship together and invite all to, if they can, to stay with our fellowship. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.